Joined now here in the studio by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, back again after a long week of bad weather, or half a week of, has it only been half a week
it
of bad
like
weather?
It seems like a week, but it's only been
like
3 days.
It should be like next Monday at this point. Yeah.
But I wasn't here last week,
that's
so
true.
It seemed even longer.
It does seem even longer. Any week without you is a long week.
Aw. Gee.
And it's been kind of a wild week weather-wise for the area. The last 2 days have been snow days. Of course, all the schools have been canceled. What does that mean for the public library? Because you've been open.
We have been open. Snow days are fun at the library. My staff's like, no, they're not. They're totally fun.
There's books scattered everywhere. It's like Black Friday at the mall.
It's been really interesting. So I wanted to harken back to Monday, which was actually a scheduled teacher work day for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools.
Yes.
And whenever that happens, the library is hopping.
Because that was President's Day, so
correct.
It was going to be, yeah.
So the kids' room was just, would have been bonkers anyways, because they're... wasn't school, but everybody knew that the big weather was coming, and Durham and Orange County went ahead and did an early dismissal
on Monday.
So anyways, it was very busy, and I brought some interesting numbers. I had our library systems IT dude. That's his actual title.
IT
systems
dude.
IT dude.
Yep, that makes sense.
He pulled some numbers for me.
Okay.
And so on an average weekday, we check out about 2,000 physical items.
Nice.
About 2,000.
That's a
On
lot.
Monday, we checked out 3,562.
Wow. That's awesome.
3,562 physical items went out our door.
So that's talking books and
DVDs,
and
audiobooks, all that stuff. So I thought that was a really great indicator of just how busy we were Monday.
I don't know if you have this number right off the top of your head. I asked Kristen Smith to describe 18,000 square feet of space to me last hour, and I think I stumped her because I didn't know either. So I might be stumping you with this question.
The library is 68,000 square feet.
Okay. So
was that your question?
No, but that's actually a good thing to keep in mind. How many physical items do you have at the library in general? So what is 2,000 compared to?
Oh, so our physical items, it's just over 200,000, I believe, right now.
Okay. So like one out of every, so like you check out 1% of the entire library every
day. I'm a librarian, not a mathematician.
That's actually really cool.
That's a lot of math.
Yeah.
3,562 items is a bunch of items.
Yeah,
I mean, 2,000 on a normal day is a bunch of items.
Right, right.
3,562 is a large
lot.
Bunch of items.
Definitely.
Yes.
So the lines are long and,
No, you know, now
actually,
with
lines
self-tech
are longer,
and
but, yeah, we
with
do have
the multiple service points.
That's true.
And then we have checkout stations in the children's room. So you don't have, I'm told, and I remember this when I was a patron of the library when I lived here before, in the previous building, there would be lines like throughout the building waiting to like check out books. So
I remember when the new space first opened and there was like everyone was in there and the lines were going because everyone was applying for library cards too, so that was taking longer.
So
but,
that part of it isn't as bad now. And so Monday we stayed open until 7. We closed an hour early. We have a minimum number of staff that dictates how we can stay open.
Okay.
So we were trying to stay till 8, but we closed at 7. And then yesterday we opened on time.
Nice.
I have great staff. Some of them couldn't get there. Many of them live in Hillsborough and Durham and Chatham, so they stayed home. But I had a couple of staff people walk there. They put on their little, you know, what do you call those things you put
snowshoes.
On?
Snowshoes.
Snowshoes, but the other, like, cleats that get you through the ice.
Oh,
you kind of strap them on. They're called something.
Oh, yeah.
It starts
you're
with
right,
a C,
are.
But I can't think of it. So they came in and we opened.
Crimps? Cramps?
Crampers? Crampers? Cramp on, cramp off, the cramper?
The cramper.
I don't know. But thanks to the great staff and our awesome public works crew with the town, Library Drive was cleared at about 10 minutes till 10. And if you don't follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you should now because that's where you get information about our opening and closing. But you can also find out what it's like. And my favorite picture from yesterday was right at 10, I'm opening the lower doors, and there's an adorable couple with their snowshoes on and their poles, and they're coming up Library Drive to be at the library for opening, which was awesome. That shows you how much Chapel Hill loves the library. And people were thrilled that we were open. I mean, the phone was just ringing off the hook, and we just started saying, yes, we're open.
Yes, we're open.
That's how we answered
it. And there were a lot of facilities that were closed yesterday, like town and municipalities and everything, or like limited hours.
And our message was, if you can get here safely, we are open.
Yeah, that's really
cool.
So
lots of people did. We closed at 6 yesterday, again, because staff either couldn't come in or wanted to get home. And then there was today, day 3 of snow days, when the roads were, you know, pretty good by mid-morning. And that's when the stream of, you know, it's the parents that are coming in with, like, the giant cup from Caribou.
Oh,
and still kind of got some bedhead.
Right.
And the kids are just raring to go.
Because I've been, walking around. Like,
I shouldn't judge, right?
Yeah,
I should assume.
Oh, we should totally judge. We should just judge properly. I've been walking around with hat head for the last two days. Like, you put on the, like, because I will run out of the house. It's like, I'll get out of bed as late as possible before I have to, like, get out of bed, take a shower, put a hat on with still wet hair, get to work, take it off, and then, like,
you're on the radio. People don't have to see you.
Right?
I'm working the public service desk. I can't be there with the hat head or the bed head.
You could have a hat.
So today was great because everybody had, you know, cabin fever was setting
in.
But I think my favorite story from today was I was helping a gentleman. He came in right at opening, and he was returning season one of the Game of Thrones TV show.
Oh, nice.
And he had not thought ahead, and he had not put seasons 2, 3, and 4 on hold. So he was like, I'm going to return this one. I'll put the second season on hold.
Yes.
And I talked to him about strategies of putting things on hold.
Right.
But season 2 was showing as available. So we looked for it, and we couldn't find it. And then he was going to go. And then we found it. It had, like, fallen under a shelving cart. He was so happy.
That's
he was like,
awesome.
I'm going to go home and, like, put on a
watch this
pot
all
of
day.
Tea and just binge watch season 2 of Game of Thrones on a snow day.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
That's
was
really,
really
cool.
So it's been fun. Really great staff. Really great community of users. When we opened the doors this morning, there was a big crowd there. They were just like, thank you for being open. Thank you. So it's been really great. And we will be open until 8 o'clock tonight. And then hopefully smooth sailing, but have they called school tomorrow? They aren't going to call school tomorrow, are they?
You know, I can say this because I'm from Michigan. They're Southerners.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts.
Well, if they do call school tomorrow,
it's
we'll
be really
open.
We'll
be open, and everybody can come and hang out there.
Yeah, awesome. We are. You know, still going to be some frozen precipitation on the ground. So
that's
maybe
right.
They will. Maybe they will. But we'll see. I was happy today because I teach a class at Durham Tech, and Durham Tech was called off today. And usually when there's a snow day, you know, in journalism, like, everyone gets the day off. And you see people posting on Facebook, like, I got the day off today. I can do all this and hang around the house and sleep till 3. We always have to go to work, like, extra time. When the ice storm hit last year, Rand Northam and I were here all night long, like, doing updates and checking for power outages and updating the school and other closings and everything like that and putting together stories with them, like, really, really long hours when there's a snowstorm. So today was the first day that I actually got to enjoy a snow day. Like, I don't have to teach.
Right.
It's great.
Well,
we're still
way
behind on the syllabus, so it's
unfortunate.
I will
say, talking about long hours, working for the town and being colleagues with the public works guys and the PD
they
and
work
the fire,
super long hours.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And just everybody comes together and they make everything just run
I was talking
smoothly.
With, Tom Stevens, mayor of Hillsborough, earlier this week. They've got 7 people who clear all the roads for Hillsborough. Like, the entire town, 7 people take care of that. And that's just amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then that's the case for Orange County and Chapel Hill and Carrboro and every other municipality. It's just like the tiny number of people who are responsible for clearing all of the roads
and
doing all of that work. It's incredible the work that they do.
Yep.
And they really did a good job.
They
always do. Yeah. All right, so that's what it's like on a snow day at the library. So what are we were talking about what book recommendations to offer this week, and, like, I couldn't think of anything other than snowy, cold, wintry related books. So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so what do we got?
So my first one, I'm going to go with a kid's book, one of my all-time favorites. And I learned something.
Is it The Snowy Day?
Yes.
Yeah,
was it on your list?
Story. No, it wasn't. But as soon as you said it, I'm like, it's got to be The Snowy Day,
Ezra Jack Keats, that iconic book cover of the little African-American boy in that red snowsuit.
Which was already revolutionary at the time because that was one of the, if not the first book that just sort of, that had an African-American protagonist in a kid's book and just sort of took that for granted.
And it was like, also a slice of life. It was just an African-American kid in the city living his life.
Right.
So that's a wonderful book. It tracks Peter on the first snow of the season and his adventures through the snow.
It's such a great book.
It was groundbreaking from the art point of view because it was collage art, and that really wasn't done much.
Yep.
But
yep.
I did not know Ezra Jack Keats was white. I, like many, assumed that he was African American. So I had no idea. But Peter, the protagonist of that book, he went on to write 6 or 8 books featuring Peter.
Yeah.
One of my kids' favorites is Goggles, which is this great book about Peter and his older siblings, and they're like walking through the city and they find this pair of goggles, and then the older kids try and steal it, I think. And they're delightful because they are just kind of slice of life. It's just an average kid doing average things in the city who happens to be black. So
awesome.
Snowy Day is a great
pick. That's such a great book. Okay, well, you mentioned Goggles, so in the worst segue ever, I'm going to go from Goggles to Gogol and say The Overcoat, which is one of the great short stories.
The Overcoat?
The Overcoat,
okay,
yeah.
I don't know it.
Great short story. I actually used to taught a class in politics. No, it was short fiction. I think I taught like it was years ago in a previous life when I was at Rutgers. Taught a class on short fiction. And this was one of the this was one of the stories that I assigned that like everyone really got into. It's a very short story by Nikolai Gogol, Russian writer from the 19th century, and he inspired and influenced Russian literature from there on out. So Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, and the rest, all
all those other guys.
A huge debt of gratitude to Nikolai Gogol. Like, he started it, and or like he was sort of the launching point. In the same way that you think of like Walt Whitman or Edgar Allan Poe or Washington Irving, sort of launching American literature. He launches Russian literature, and he's got some great short stories. Diary of a Madman is my favorite, which is just it's told in the form of a diary.
I've heard of that one.
Of a guy who's going increasingly insane, and the diary entries became like January the nothing. There was no day today. Like that kind of level, which I think is a
direct
quote.
That's probably what some parents will feel like tomorrow if they call school.
Yes, if they call school again. After Monday, which was no school for Chapel Hill. So yeah. So that's a really cool story. And then The Nose, which is another great Gogol story, which is another like sort of uncanny, supernaturally kind of unnerving story about a guy who wakes up to find that his nose is missing. Meanwhile, across town, another guy wakes up, walks into the kitchen where his wife is making breakfast, and she opens up the oven and pulls out whatever it is she's making, and there's a nose in it.
Wow.
That comes from nowhere. So, like, how? What?
I kind of love that. I thought you were going to say he woke up with 2 noses on his
face. No. They just find the nose and, like, okay, what do we do with this? Because they don't know each other. Like, there's no connection. So it's a really interesting story. But The Overcoat, which is the wintry story, which is another great one. It's more sort of realistic and maudlin, a little bit depressing, but it's about this poor guy who has an overcoat made for him, and then I think it's stolen, if I remember right, or he loses it or something like that, and just sort of the plot develops from there. And it's kind of a sadder story, but just those 3 short stories together, just really amazing, sort of classic short stories. So if you like that genre, just short fiction in general, those are 3 to check out if you haven't.
So we went from Googles to Goggle.
Goggles to Gogol. We can go to Google,
Google
if we want. Yeah, sure. Okay.
No, I can't. No. No.
Watch The Social Network.
Okay, so my next recommendations is a pair of graphic novels, which I don't read a lot of, but the few I've read, some of them have stuck with me. The first one is 30 Days of Night, which was made into a movie.
Yeah.
It was an okay movie.
It was made into a movie.
But the premise of the graphic novel was brilliant. It is set in a town in Alaska, and they're approaching their it's like the polar night, where night lasts for 30 days, you know? And they're getting ready, as they do every year. And in a sort of throwback to Dracula, to the original story, this strange ship comes in, and this person gets out, and all of this weird stuff starts happening.
Right, right.
And in the end, there's this roving pack of vampires that have swept across the world, and they're coming there for their, like, equivalent of a convention, because it's dark. It's night for 30 days.
So you can just hang out all the time.
And they can just wreak havoc.
Yeah.
The graphic, it's violent. The movie is pretty severely violent. I mean, it's kind of over the top.
Yeah.
But the graphic novel really does a good job of sort of the menacing build up to what's going to happen.
That's
a
true.
Cold
if you're a vampire,
book, right?
You should go to Alaska in the wintertime.
Right?
I never thought of that. Yeah.
And then the other graphic novel that I want to mention is set in Antarctica, and it's called Whiteout by Greg Rucka, who wrote graphic novels, and then he also writes kind of spy thrillers. But this one is set in Antarctica. It's got two great great female protagonist, and the one is Carrie Setko. She's a U.S. Marshal. She's stationed there. She's left her sort of dark and gloomy past behind. She's gone to Antarctica. She's a U.S. Marshal, and there's a research station there. And so there's very few people up there. It's a pretty good gig, if you don't mind the cold.
Awesome.
Not much happens, and then there's a murder. And the book plays out with her investigating the murder. And it's all set on, you know, with this backdrop of Antarctica and in the sort of like smell a sense of snow, which I think we've talked about before.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Part of the evidence with the body is ice and sort of studying the ice to think about the patterns and what it tells, you know, what information it provides about the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, great female protagonist. Nice. Really good book. So White Out by Greg Rucka and 30 Days of Night by I forget the author.
Super cool. And my second recommendation is one that doesn't come from me, because the only other winter book I could think of, we already mentioned Game of Thrones, is the other one that I could think of. Winter's coming, but and I haven't read it, so I can't recommend it. The other one comes from Jeff Danner, the common science writer on chapelbar.com.
Yeah.
He was always in every Monday, and the last two columns that he's written were inspired by a book about a ship that in, I think it's 1879, I believe, sets out from, I think, San Francisco on a quest to find the North Pole. So it's this northern voyage, and it gets trapped in the ice, and it ends up being this like harrowing journey of survival where these people, the survivors of the ship, have to walk 3,000 miles to get to Siberia, where survival is also not guaranteed, so they can get back home after being trapped in the ice in the middle of the Arctic Ocean. And the book is called In the Kingdom of Ice, The Grand and Terrible Polar Voyage of the USS Jeanette. And the author is Hampton Sides.
Oh, Hampton Sides. He's a great author.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've talked about, it's escaping me now. Dan Simmons wrote, I talked about it when I somehow talked about cannibalism recently. It was a Arctic expedition.
It's
a novel based on true story.
That's right, yeah.
And then there's a lot of stuff about Shackleford. So I'm a fan of books about Arctic expeditions.
And actually,
gone wrong.
Yeah, and come to think of it, I can recommend one in that same genre, which is Into Thin Air by John Krakauer,
which is
so
book.
Good. Yes, about the Everest expedition.
The Everest book, Into Thin Air, when that came out, I was only reading fiction. I had just been reading fiction for years, and I was like, a nonfiction book about climbing Everest?
Right.
I got no interest, but people just kept saying, you've got to read it,
yeah.
I remember reading that book in like 36 hours.
Right.
It was so good.
Yep.
So good. And his next book, I just saw, so he did Into Thin Air, and he did Into the Wild.
Yep.
And then he did the book
In the Kingdom of Heaven.
Something like that.
Yeah.
About the Mormon fundamentalist
I think that's
sect.
In the Kingdom of Heaven. I think that's what it was called.
You're close.
Okay.
Something Heaven. Under the Banner of Heaven. His next book just announced is coming out, I think later this year, is going to be about campus rape.
Okay.
So he's a really interesting guy. I think he waits for a compelling story that suits his sort of narrative storytelling style. So if people haven't read Krakauer, they should
do it, because he's really, really good. Yeah. Okay, we've only got a minute left, so final recommendation?
My final recommendation. Okay, so recently I talked about what I call Nordic noir, all of these Scandinavian writers that are often crime fiction writers. They're all set in these snowy climates.
Yep.
I want to recommend one. He's from Canada, and it's the first book in a series. So if you're a mystery lover, this is perfect weather for you to cuddle up with a crop of new mysteries and start a new series. It's called 40 Words for Sorrow, and the author is Giles Blunt. He's a under-the-radar writer. But it is set in Canada. The title comes from, there's an Inuit, from the Inuit people, where they have 40 different words for sorrow.
Okay.
I think it's sorrow.
Sorry,
might be snow. Anyway, smell a sense of snow.
They got a lot of words.
There's a lot of words.
It's a complicated language.
It's a great series that is underread. Mm-hmm. And the first one, there's ice and snow in the crime. But Giles Blunt, 40 Words for Sorrow. There's probably 6 or 8 books in the series after that. But that's a good one. Mysteries set in cold climates.
All right. So check all those out.
I got no more.
And go to the Chapel Hill Public Library, because they are open all week long
to
serve you.